she's a doctor. That's, she wears sensible sandals. That's why she doesn't want to be a wife. It was like subtext, like feminist wife doesn't have to account for anything.
I cannot wait till Black Lives Matter like actually learns about how awful Joe Biden is. Also, he's a grabby old man. Like, he's so gross.
Welcome to Call Your Girlfriend,
a podcast for long distance besties everywhere.
I'm Anne Friedman.
And I'm Aminatou Sow. On this week's agenda, we'll discuss Taylor Swift, BFF power couples, Ivanka Trump and her dad, Joe Biden feels, Hillary versus Bernie versus Black Lives Matter, our love of political scandals, including Columba Bush and Marco Rubio's wife. Drake and Serena are dating, and we're so happy, and the misuse of slang.
Hi, Amina. What's up?
Hi, Anne. I'm so good. I like just made myself a big salad. Went to the farmer's market this morning. I'm still running on adrenaline. I feel great.
I mean, I'm going to describe the fig salad for people who did not receive a photo of it in text message like I did. This salad was pornographic. It was like lush and like red and green, and it was incredible. I think you could make some money, like maybe stock photo for sexy salad.
I know. You know, there was an article this week about how salads are scams. I didn't actually read the article, but I was so annoyed because I love salad. I think people are idiots. We like don't know how to make a good one.
Okay, I read that article, and that article accused lettuce of being merely a vehicle for water, which I think
garbage.
Is one of, which, I mean, and what kind of lettuce are you eating? I eat my like West Coast hearty greens, you know? It's not just a vehicle for water. I'm sorry.
I mean, I have been known to enjoy even an iceberg, so
trust.
I just don't. That's like where I drew the line this week. I was like, this is clickbait. I'm not clicking on this.
I mean, I clicked it. I'm not that strong, but anyway, your salad was beautiful. You're winning today. I met two major deadlines, and I'm drinking a Trader Jose's knockoff Corona in my closet, which we can talk about Trader Joe's ethnicize names for products at some later date. But anyway, but that's what I'm consuming right now. Trader Jose.
What else? I saw Taylor Swift yesterday and my life was changed.
This is your what? Fourth Taylor Swift concert?
Fourth. This is my fourth. I've been to all the big tours.
Oh my God. Tell me about last night.
First of all, I'm going to brag. I flew on a private jet yesterday and I don't know how civilians are flying in commercial flights. I never want to fly ever again. I was like, life can be like this.
Okay. I have so
many
questions.
So that's my brag component for the day. It was amazing.
All right.
God, I sound like such an asshole, but I was like, this is how these like rich kids of Beverly Hills on the show live. And I had no idea. I never want to get on another plane ever again if it's not a private plane. It's ridiculous.
Okay, I'm not... Yeah, that does sound a little rich kids of Beverly Hills.
I mean, listen, I want to be a rich kid of Beverly Hills. What's up, EJ? But so, before the show, obviously I'd like been reading about it. I was really familiar with the set list. And every time I go to a big arena show, I always panic a little before I go, ugh, why did I drop this much money on this? I already know all the songs, blah, blah, blah. Like, all of your concert anxiety. And then you get there and there's like 30,000 freaks just like you. And you're like, okay, I'm at home again. It's fantastic.
You understand why those like weird people get married in group weddings and stuff. Like it takes something you're already excited about and just turns it up to like 15.
Yeah. And last year I also made a rule that I would stop going to like indie show, like cool band concerts because I actually hate that experience. But the like stadium...
That has been your policy for a while, though, let's
Arena
be real. You've
madness.
Had a stadium-only concert policy for almost as long as I've known you, I feel.
Yeah, because it's just, like, worth money. I'm, like, I'm tired of, like, yeah. But so, like life-changing. The whole time before, I wondered who the secret guests were going to be. I was really hoping it would be Future or Jidenna, because, you know, Taylor is in need of, like, black people. And the Seattle crowd got Fetty Wap, and I was so jealous.
What did Seattle do to deserve Fetty Wap? That's what I want to know.
I don't even know. I mean, they got Sierra, which, like, fine. You have Sierra. I don't care.
But I would have been excited about... You wouldn't have been excited about Sierra at all. Come on.
No, I just... I have some, like, really just meh feelings about Sierra lately. And I think that they're tangled into my love of Future. and in the wake of their relationship breakdown, I chose Future.
I feel like you're on... This is, like, pop culture psychology. It's like, okay, well, tell me why you feel the way you do about Sierra. Like, what's the feelings you're going through?
Name, like, four good Sierra songs.
I mean, I can't. Exactly. I can't. But look, she doesn't have to sing four songs with Taylor. She has to sing one, right?
Fair enough. But here are the secret guests. Ellen did her, like, weird Ellen thing. And then Natalie Maines from Dixie Chicks. That's when I started tearing up because I, like, love the Dixie Chicks.
Playing Tear Texas so hard.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And then Alanis Morissette. You ought to know. That's, like, when I cried. I, like, full-on cried.
I was wondering when I saw that Alanis was there yesterday, I was like, you know, for the teenagers that are there, is this the way I felt about Blondie or something when I was a kid? Like, ancient, kind of like, not ancient history, but old enough to just be like, oh yeah, that was not on TV, like, in any time in my memory. You know, it's sort of like, it's retro.
Yeah, but the kids knew all of the words. It was so the best. And, like, Taylor obviously was so into it. I'm so glad I saw her in LA instead of San Francisco, because San Francisco got Joan Baez, LOLOLOL. I would have asked for a refund, real talk.
How many roads would I walk down to not have to listen to Joan Baez over the Dixie Chicks or Alanis? Yeah,
I'm just, you know how, like, Taylor is always talking about her squad goals? I'm like, literally, Taylor Swift, Joan Baez, and Julia Roberts is nobody's definition of squad goals. I don't know what you're talking about.
But did you see that? I mean, did you see that video of the girl who was, like, sort of parodying the randomness of Taylor's special guest choices, where she was like, and now let me bring to the stage, and it's just like this totally incongruous group of people.
Please welcome to the stage. They've been through a lot, but now they're here. The women survivors of ISIS! Welcome to the stage. Hillary Swank, Laura Linney, Laura Dern, Reese Witherspoon, Hillary Clinton, Lupita Nyong'o, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, like, in LA, they also had Chris Rock and who else? Joey Tribbiani, because you know how Taylor loves her friends. And yeah, it's so weird, especially, like, as the tour is winding down, you're just like, which celebrity has she not invited?
Right. Slash, like, who happens to live in that town is like, yeah, I could drive over. Like, I'll be there.
I know. But it was great. There's a Taylor backlash coming on. I have feelings about it. But honestly, best 2 hours of my life yesterday. Thank you, Taylor Swift. That was worth every single penny and more.
Great. I mean, I can't wait to someday be a part of the montage interview clips about what a great person you are when you go on an arena tour. That's all I have to say. I can't wait to be interviewed about just, like, everything you've done for me and, like, just your contribution to society and how much you love snacks.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I can't wait. I'll be like, hi, everyone. Introducing my friend, Ann Friedman.
Welcome to the stage.
I know.
She can't dance and can't sing. I'm
introducing. So sad. But, you know, yesterday at the same time, there was an amazing Carly Rae at some concert, and I'm really sad I missed that.
I know, at a much smaller venue with just as many celebrities, I think.
I know. A friend of the podcast, Lindsay Weber, spotted Tom Hanks, and I was like, that's maybe the best celebrity.
Oh, yeah, setting. Former podcast guest Lindsay Weber. There are very few people we can say that about.
I know. Lindsay Weber forever. You know, she is great. Her Tom Hanks spotting, like, A++.
I saw her photo of it on Instagram, and it was, like, trying to spot Sasquatch. I was like, is that Tom Hanks? Like, I know that's what you photograph, but...
Oh, man, maybe one day we'll do a whole podcast episode about my theory that Tom Hanks is a black man.
Did I ever tell you about the time I was really stoned and sitting right next to Tom and Colin Hanks at a brunch place in New York?
Stop.
And they both ordered the same sandwich, and I kept trying to indicate to our mutual friend Josh, who was sitting to our left, and it was just not working because of the extreme level of stonedness. I don't know. Anyway, I was very close to Tom Hanks, and I would love to hear more about this theory, because he looked very
white. Tom Hanks is passing for a white man. He looks just like Cab Calloway. It's like a thing.
I'm going to Google this.
I'll send you some evidence later. Maybe we'll post it on the website. But yeah. And then also it would explain Chet Hayes, mm-hmm. who is America's worst rapper and son of Tom and Rita. I sat next to Rita at the girls' premiere last year, or earlier this year. She smells incredible.
She's all rich so people nice, smell incredible, right?
So good.
I just assume everyone rich smells good.
That's not true.
If you're in the private plane, you can afford to control your smell environment.
Listen, only like smart people like us know about the importance of smells.
Well, listen, because you brought up Taylor, I feel like I have to talk about this article from T Magazine that was about female BFF power couples.
Oh, yeah, tell me.
So Taylor was sort of one in a series of examples, but I'm going to read this little excerpt. The author, Emily Witt, says, "Lately, we've been inundated with images of real-life best friends triumphantly displayed. It's difficult to get through a day on the internet without looking at photos of women flaunting the depth of their intimacy by posing over dinner or watching television together in matching pajamas. We now flick through images not of celebrity couples, but of celebrity friends." And, like, Taylor and the Haim sisters are like one of the many examples, and all of Taylor's squad photos. And my feeling about this is like, okay, maybe there are idealized images of female friendship, and like maybe all of those women in every photo are not as tight as they want you to think they are, or they have problems and fight too. But I would so much rather idealize healthy female friendships than I would heteronormative relationships. She's sort of like, isn't this just a different kind of ideal we can't live up to, and isn't that bad? There is a difference between saying this is an ideal you have to live up to and being like, this is a type of relationship we want to model more often.
Yeah, I don't know. Have you read the Elena Ferrante books?
Oh my God. So, well, the Elena Ferrante book is like her example in this article of a better take on female friendship. She says it's more complex. That's why, you know, she's not sort of saying all versions of female friendship presented online are bad. She just says like this oversimplified Instagram version of it is bad. And so she actually says those are good.
I would recommend the Elena Ferrante books because I think that it's a little more complex and deep. But I also, there's so much of it I don't agree with. I think that a lot of the Instagram friendship, Lindsay Weber that we talked about earlier coined this amazing term last year, BFF marketing, in relation to Taylor. Before Taylor adopted squad goals, Lindsay saw into the future and like coined BFF marketing. And, you know, and I think that a lot of that is just tied into FOMO, right? Like fear of missing out. You're just like, here are all the famous people she's hanging out with. Here's what she's doing. But I don't know. I think, to me, it is worth it to see women celebrate their friendships with each other than, yeah, like the heteronormative, like, love stories. And, yeah, it's like close friendship is worth celebrating, right? But, yeah, read the Ferrante books because those ladies are crazy. And I feel like you just learn so much more about compassion from, like, that trilogy.
Yeah, I also think that you have to consider the source here, which is that if Taylor Swift were posting tons of photos of her in a romantic relationship, you wouldn't also get posts about them fighting or how things are tough. I mean, it's sort of like the general tendency of either like not wanting to, you know, show too much about your personal life, whether you're a celebrity or a normal person, and then the general pressure to be upbeat about things online is like, that's going to happen to no matter what. That is a price I'm happy to pay for more visibility for female friendship.
Fair enough.
Great. Glad yeah, we settled
we
that.
We were on the vanguard of like BFF marketing.
I mean, surfing the friendship wave.
Peak too soon.
No, we haven't even peaked yet. Don't even say that.
I mean, speaking of not peaking yet, can we talk about the incredible shout out we got this week? I usually do not care about shout out, even though in the shout out economy, I'm the richest person.
I just almost spit my Trader Jose's knockoff Corona into the microphone.
But Ivanka Trump, daughter of Donald Trump, said that we're one of her favorite podcasts.
Okay, are we sure, though, that this was not someone who, like, works for Ivanka Trump?
Oh,
like,
and 100% it's somebody who works for Ivanka.
Thank you.
I don't care.
Factcheck.org. I'm just saying.
Please. I am under no illusion. Also, they, like, spell my last name wrong. Whatever.
I mean, eye roll.
But I was like, of all of the weirdo, like, we are aware of your podcast, that's my favorite. Also, low-key, I love Ivanka, man. I own some Ivanka shoes. I have been supporting her for a long time.
Tell me, Ivanka shoes, on the spectrum of celebrity footwear, like, are they better than Jessica Simpson and Carlos Santana?
Okay, you can't talk shit about Jessica. Like,
no.
J. Sims is, like, the queen. Ivanka comes close, but, like, nobody will beat J. Sims. She just has a lot to prove.
So better than Carlos Santana, but not as good as Jessica
definitely
Simpson.
Definitely better than Carlos. Like, very comfortable. And you would think, like, kind of... It's, like, not on brand for me, you know, because I'm not, like, a clubbing lady. But every once in a while, you know, you're, like, at a Dillard's and you're like, okay, this is comfortable as fuck. Looks good. What's up? Also, I love to support lady entrepreneurs, man.
I mean, Ivanka, she is, you know, she has, like, that whole, I will confess that I had not spent much time on Ivanka's website before clicking this link to her staff person's endorsement of our podcast, and I was like, anyway, P.S., shout out to Ivanka's staff.
Yeah, we should Ivanka's say. Staff forever. Love you, ladies.
But I did not realize that she was going the full Goop direction with things.
Ivanka's been going Goop. She's like, she's my lifestyle guru. She just knows what's up.
Great.
She's just impeccable. Also, Ivanka's dad in the news.
I think maybe we can just make a pact to only refer to him as Ivanka's dad moving forward
he's
in this podcast.
He's Ivanka and Barron's dad, yeah. As far as I'm concerned.
Great.
Barron Trump is my favorite 9-year-old. He's so fly. We already talked about how much I loved his hat. But can I read something to you that was in the news today?
Obviously.
It was in on time.com. The title of this article is Donald Trump supporters vent frustration in Frank Luntz focus group. But best line. We know his goal is to make America great again, a woman said. It's on his hat. And we see it every time it's on TV. Everything that he's doing. There's no doubt why he's doing it. To make America great again. The hat is the best platform. He doesn't need a website. He doesn't need a policy platform. What a time to be alive.
I mean,
Donald Trump supporters are crazy.
It's really like the major league sports approach to presidential marketing, which seems very smart. Like, that seems to have gone pretty well for professional sports. To be like, yeah, you know, like a hat and a really good slogan and like, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by Trump. He had this ridiculous interview with Chuck Todd last week, and Chuck Todd is like, tell us about the wall around Mexico, what's going to happen? And Donald Trump's like, Chuck, I'm the best builder in the country. I'm going to get it done. And I was like, I can't fight that.
Also, just like, does Chuck Todd still have that goatee?
Yo, Chuck Todd had that goatee since he was 7 years old. He looks exactly
baby Chuck Todd was born with that goatee.
Yeah, and he got a promotion, so he's like Mr. the face of everything on MSNBC now.
How can you make him the face of everything with that goatee?
Because Washington, D.C., Anne, we don't care what you look like. We only care what you think like.
I mean, again, some problems there. But Trump's fence, is he going to put the slogan on the fence, do you think?
Probably. I mean, Trump is crazy. He's like actually crazy. It's like, Donald, what are you gonna do? You're always having fights on social media. How can we trust you not to have a fight with like Saudi Arabia?
Right.
And he goes, I sell them a lot of apartments, millions of dollars worth of apartments. We get along. It's like, now it's funny to me, but I'm actually low-key worried. It's like, on one hand, I love that he's just forcing Republicans to deal with the fact that they're awful people. You know, I'm like, this is the monster that you created.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, I talk to some of my friends' parents who are Trump supporters, and they all tell me the same thing. They're like, you know, Amina, he just says what we can't say. Like, he just says what he thinks. And I was like, man, this is dangerous. Danger, danger.
Wow, racist change you can believe in. Things that, I mean, you don't want to say real. Yourself. Yeah.
For real. He just, like, he doesn't care. And they're like, he can't be bought. He has billions. And I'm like, actually, it's debatable how much money he has.
Right. And actually, anyone can be bought. Because you know how expensive it is to run a presidential campaign?
Yeah, no. Everybody can be bought. And now, also, Joe Biden wants to run, which I'm very annoyed at.
I mean, can we just all take a little moment? I want the nation to collectively put a caring hand on Joe Biden's shoulder and just be like, we love you. We're never going to love you more than we love you right now. So stop trying to get us to love you more. Just, like, end it with there.
Here's the thing about Joe Biden. I think that in the Obama presidency, he's remade himself into this happy-go-lucky Uncle Joe character. You know, he gave us marriage equality. He is really chill.
He's meme-friendly.
Yeah, you know, he's had a lot of tragedy, so we're supposed to, like, empathize. But people have a really short memory. Joe Biden is evil, man. First of all, if you go back to the Anita Hill hearings, he stopped other women from testifying to corroborate Anita's testimony, which, one, is evil, but two, makes him, like, directly responsible for Clarence Thomas, and there's a clear line to that, to how the Voting Rights Act is getting gutted. Two, that man wrote the 1994 crime bill that is the reason that, you know, like, everybody talks about Bill Clinton and how bad he was for crime and prison and all that stuff, which is true, but Joe Biden actually wrote the bill. So when I see all these, like, people of color, and then tried to atone with the
Violence Against Women Act, which was, like, not enough of an atonement.
No, totally. But when I see, like, Black people especially be like, yeah, like, we need an alternative to Hillary, Joe Biden. And I'm like, I cannot wait till Black Lives Matter, like, actually learns about how awful Joe Biden is. Also, he's a grabby, grabby old man. Like, he's so gross. All of these pictures of him just non-consensually touching women and whispering in their ears. He's such a low-key creep, and he cannot be our president. No way.
Wow. I feel like we should make that available in clip format, just, like, for posterity, so people can easily link to it on Twitter, etc., if and when he declares his candidacy.
I'll put it on the website.
Great.
I'll put it on the website.
I would like access to that.
There's something too about, like, a lot of people have strong feelings about Hillary, but at this point with the Democrats, it's just, you have a feeling that, like, the white dudes are, like, anybody but a woman, you know, so everybody is just, like, throwing their hat in the ring, and I was like, this is suspicious.
Well, it's also noteworthy that there is a statute of limitations on calling out really reprehensible stuff from the past of every candidate but Hillary. I feel like that is also a theme of that Biden assessment, which is like, oh yeah, I only remember him from the past 8 or so years, and he seems pretty good.
Right, like, everybody's, like, attacking Hillary on crime, and I'm like, Hillary was merely married to the crime bill. Like, Joe wrote it. Mm-hmm. Just stop. Yeah, and it's like, she has to pay for the sins of, like, her husband everywhere, and I'm like, you guys remember, she was first lady. Like, you can't just pin all this stuff on her.
Tell me what you think of Bernie's sort of awkward, bumbling overtures toward Black Lives Matter.
Ugh, I'm so over Bernie, Anne. God. It's just like, where do you even come from? You know, on one hand, it is like kind of wonderful to watch, like, a white man especially just shut up and listen to Black people every time they, like, storm his platform. But at the same time, I don't know. I feel like Bernie to me is a distraction.
But you know what I keep wishing?
I can't handle it.
Like, it is, you're right. Like, he does shut up and listen, but there have been at least two incidents that I've watched where he, once it becomes clear that these activists are standing up to, like, to ask questions, he just kind of steps off to the side and they speak, which is great. But I also am sort of like, actually, what would I would really like to hear from you is an engaged dialogue with them on the spot and, like, and share that platform so that what they say is not just, and they were allowed to speak. It's like, you know, you, what you say is part of, like, you know, boosting what they say and making it newsworthy.
Yeah, did you see the Hillary Clinton video with her and the Black Lives Matter activists?
I did.
It's kind of incredible because the way the girl who talks to her is so nervous about, like, calling her out and criticizing her, and Hillary just, like, stands there and listens, but she's so firm.
And that those policies were actually extensions of white supremacist violence against communities of color. And so I just think I want to hear a little bit about that, about the fact that actually while those policies were being enacted, they were ripping apart families and actually causing death.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with you. I'm not sure I disagree that any kind of government action often has consequences. And certainly the war on drugs, which started back in the 80s, right, has had consequences. Increasing penalties for crime and three strikes and you're out and all of those kinds of.
And you also just, you realize that, like, yeah, it's like Hillary wasn't an activist, but she's worked with activists her whole life and she has proximity to that world. So she gets the language. She was really firm. She was really respectful. And also the only time I think we've seen her in years be completely off script.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you for being a real human right now. Like, I really appreciated that moment. It's like, you could tell that her and the activists didn't agree on everything. But she, like, she knew what she was talking about. She gave them the space to talk. And they did. They had, like, a real dialogue.
Right. I mean, I also appreciated her comment of, like, you know, feels don't change policy.
Yep.
So all I'm saying is your analysis is totally fair. It's historically fair, it's psychologically fair, it's economically fair. But you're going to have to come together as a movement and say, here's what we want done about it. Because you can get lip service from as many white people as you can pack into Yankee Stadium and a million more like it, who are going to say, oh, we get it, we get it, we're going to be nicer, okay? Mm-hmm. That's not enough, at least in my book. That's not how I see politics.
And I think that you can actually respectfully disagree with her point of view that you must enact policy for any sort of social change to be real. I think that there's plenty of issues to take with that. But in terms of where she sits and, like, you know, at least theoretically what they're asking from her as a potential president, I thought that was a pretty good response.
Yeah, no, it was great. Thanks, Hills.
Ugh.
God, it's going to be a long, it's like not even a year till the election. It's only August. I'm exhausted already.
I keep thinking that, like, at some point, like, you know, we're going to come back to record in another 2 weeks and there just, like, won't be any, you know, pre-presidential campaign news and we won't talk about it. But it just, it's not going to happen, right? Like, we're just going to do this for 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we're going to do this for 2 years and we're just going to get an ebb and flow of, like, who says the dumbest, you know, like, the dumbest stuff. It's like Jeb Bush and his anchor baby problem.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, do you not know the difference between, like, birth tourism and anchor babies? Also, the fact that it's, like, 2015 and, like, conservatives think it's still an okay thing to, like, say anchor baby, like, disgusting.
I know.
Like, disgusting.
I know. Well, that's one of those, like, oh, wow, I can see who's working for you. People who look exactly like you. It's when you say stuff like that, there's no one throwing up a flag in the room being like, actually, maybe I would phrase your racist thoughts a little differently.
I know, but, like, Jeb has the problem in that he has to run against Trump, you know, so he has to say something like as like equally outrageous. But also all anybody wants to ever talk to him is how he lost all that weight and he keeps talking about his paleo diet.
The Huckabee problem.
I know. I love it. It was like, Jeb, how do you lose all this weight? It's like paleo. And then he just like whispers, I'm hungry all the time.
Feed me, please. Slip a donut under this podium.
I'm like, I support you. I'm over Jeb, but I like really want to read a good Columba story. Like Jeb Bush's wife to me is like, she's the real MVP of that.
Well, I'm convinced there's not, I mean, until she decides that she wants one to be written, there isn't, because Hannah Rosen wrote an incredibly long, I thought, feature about Columba in The Atlantic a couple issues ago, or maybe it's the latest one, where there's just not that much about her. Like, it's very...
Yeah, she, like, refuses to be in the public eye. Yeah. I mean, it's because she's had missteps. Like, that time she tried to smuggle all that jewelry in the country. And also, they have a daughter who, like, obviously had a drug problem in the, like, 90s and 80s. And she just, like, refuses to be a political wife, which I support. But I'm like, it's gonna be a problem soon, lady.
Yeah. I remember Howard Dean's wife, which now I feel terrible. I cannot remember this woman's name. Do you remember her name?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
know
but Dean's everyone wife. Was like, "Oh, she's a doctor. That's she wears sensible sandals. That's why she doesn't want to be a wife." It was like subtext, like feminist wife doesn't have to account for anything. And I think that like because Columba can't be like, "I'm a doctor" or something like that, then she's gonna have to at some point relent to the like touchy-feely sit-down interview about when she and Jeb first fell in love and her charitable priorities as first
which is
lady.
Like kind of an amazing story, you know. Yeah. Like they fell in love at like 17 and then he like brought her over, you know. Can you imagine like bringing over your like Mexican girlfriend to your George H.W.
to
dad?
Meet the Bush like, family.
Yeah, that's like madness.
Yeah, this article, God, it was heartbreaking. This article described her just sitting there silently and like half smiling while everyone talked because her at the point at which she met them, she didn't speak English at all or very well. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Jeb's the only white man who speaks good Spanish. I'm just like, you are the poster child for like Spanish as a second language.
Oh yeah, like
thank
half
you.
Half of this article was endorsements of how Jeb's Spanish like so easily transitions between the Cuban American community and the Mexican American community and all the nuances of how incredible Jeb's Spanish is. It was like great.
Yeah, I want to be on Team Jeb, man, but like, you know,
but
sorry,
anchor babies.
Sorry, Jeb.
But it's anchor cute. Babies. That's why.
Yeah, it's like, but anchor babies. I'm like, I can't condone this.
Yeah. Oof.
Looking good. Very svelte. Go for you.
The thing that I really want to happen, which is a cosmic impossibility, is to go back and interview 17-year-old Columba and be like, listen, here's the deal. You might love this guy, but here's what you're getting into with this family, and here's what it means to associate yourself with him, and you know, just FYI.
In my like dream life, her and Laura are like really good friends and they go on vacation together and they're like, we don't want to talk about the rest of these people.
That's why she had so much jewelry. It was Laura's too.
I know, right? I'm like, girl, you cannot declare that stuff. I love a good political wife scandal. Like Marco Rubio's wife and how she's a speed demon. She keeps getting tickets. Like,
she is a stressed out, powerful woman, though. Like, I would be speeding, too.
Those two are the two that I, like, I can't stand. I'm, like, literally, I could deal with, like, a Huckabee president before I handle, like, a Marco Rubio president. He's so bad with money. He's gonna, like, mortgage the White House and, like, bankrupt us.
What Republican president in recent history is not so bad with money?
No, but, like, this guy's the worst because he doesn't come from money. One, and then there's, like, this one guy in Florida that, like, keeps bankrolling him. So he, like, gets an $80,000 check, and then what does he do? He buys a boat. And, like, listen, homie, like, you are not good at personal finance.
And he paints on the side of it, make America great again.
I'm sorry, no. Like, Marco Rubio is the one I'm really scared of. He's going to bankrupt us. I'm going to be like, sorry, you took out a second mortgage on the White House. Like, guys, he's so shady. He used his corporate credit card to redo the carpets at his house and then claimed that he, like, got the credit cards mixed up. I'm like, come on.
P.S. Why are you redoing carpets? Rip that shit out. It's like, there's got to be something better than carpet underneath it.
Nouveau riche people, like, love carpet.
A high pile
like,
carpet.
Guys, I'm like, you guys, that is not the way to go. But so, yeah, just love a good political scandal. Can't wait.
I hope we get some more good ones. I'm like, I feel like only frivolous news will save me in this, you know, election season.
I mean, it's all, the frivolous news is all I care about. What's that one, the terrible Wisconsin one, Scott Walker? Yeah. He has this, like, bald spot, and he keeps saying that it's from when he hit his head. And I'm like, way to call attention to it. It's like literally the only thing I read about him.
I mean, he's about brutally restrictive reproductive rights policies and dismantling workplace protections and like,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
lots
he,
of things
like,
you might expect.
He ruined like tenure for all the professors at Wisconsin. Yeah,
yeah,
fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. So Scott Walker, colon, more than a bald spot.
One more year to go. Can't wait.
Let's talk about something happy.
Drake and Serena are dating.
Emoji siren.
Jamaican siren. I'm so happy. I'm really not invested in celebrity relationships, and I really think we should give people their privacy. But I have been dreaming of this since 2011, and I'm, like, so happy.
Let me tell you this. I spent some time on Drake's Instagram feed today while I was procrastinating on one of the two deadlines.
Champagne poppy?
Exactly. And so the thing is, like, obviously I check in from time to time, but I was like, I'm just going to look at this with Serena in mind, and I will say two things. One, lots of ping pong going on. I'm like, is this sort of your...
He was at the Rogers Cup with his mom. And I was like, I see you.
Yep. It's like, okay, all right. Sort of common interests that aren't really common at all. But then the second thing is, I feel like Drake's power has only grown as his beard has grown in. That if Drake were to ever shave his beard again, he would be back to being kind of sad. But, like, he has been riding high for as long as that's been growing in and thickening.
I mean, it's the beard, it's the haircut, it's how he got swole. I predicted on this podcast earlier that he got swole for Serena, and, like, because I'm a fucking oracle. That's exactly what happened. But also, there's this, like, Majid Jordan song from earlier that's, like, called the My Love Song. And I remember, like, reading the lyrics to the Drake part, and I was like, this has got to be about Serena. He's like, you got your trophies. I know how you like to show him off and shine him, and, like, I'm not your trophy. And I was like, please, who is the only person you know who plays sports?
I mean, they could be metaphorical trophies, but yes.
No, your point is taken. It's Serena, because he's, like, finally out of her friend zone. They've been, like, flirting for a long time. He had that whole beef with Common over Serena. And, it's, like, a couple of years ago, too. There was this video of her, like, twerking definitely in his condo. I'm like, please, this is Drake's house.
How could you identify Drake's condo on context clues alone?
From other pictures of Drake's house.
Okay. Does he have, like, high pile carpet?
No, but he has a Supreme mat in front of his bed. Lol. And also, there was, like, a video of them a couple of years ago, like, playing tennis, where he was like, I can beat you, but only if you play lefty. And, you know, she obviously, like, let him win. But, you know, I don't know. If I was, like, a high-powered tennis executive and some dude... It's like, of all of the sports that you could play and you think that you can compete with me, tennis, you know, like, put it in me 100%.
Sure. I mean, that's, like, specially speaking to your interests. I feel Drake and Serena is, like, maybe the very center of your Venn diagram.
And I'm like, I'm a dark-skinned lady. I've played some tennis. Drake is basically dating me.
Exactly.
That is what is happening.
Shut it down.
Yeah, but, like, jokes aside, I think that there's something about, like, you know, like, dudes dating women who are more successful than them. He's been, like, following her around the tennis circuit. He, like, clearly is in awe of her. And I don't know. Serena deserves the best. She's, like, our, like, generation's most dominant athlete, like, maybe ever.
I mean, at which point I have to ask, is Drake the best?
I mean, Drake is the best after Serena. Drake destroyed Meek Mill.
I know, but recently. Like, does it take the best to destroy Meek Mill?
Okay, that's cold. I'm not even gonna go into that, because Meek Mill people will come after you. But I will say that he showed his dominance. Also, I think, like, I don't know, I've always been pro-Team Drake, and it really annoys me that, like, people say that he's, like, too soft, he's too light-skinned, like, whatever. American, like, hood culture does not have the monopoly on hip-hop. And I think that there's also this, like, really insidious belief that to be a good rapper, you have to be really close to the street, you know? And so you see this in these, like, beefs all the time. It was the same thing with 50 Cent. They're like, he's gangster, so he's a better rapper. Same thing with, like, Meek Mill and Drake. If anything, that beef showed that, like, he was deeply good at the internet. And you know how I respect that as a skill.
Sure. Marketing.
He's so good. You know, like, whereas Meek Mill, I'm like, listen, if you did a little more reading, you would, like, rhyme better. How many times can you say Roly? Here's another word for watch. Timepiece. Like, let me just help you.
I have nothing to add to that.
Ugh, and I love Drake so much. I love Serena so much. I'm so glad they found each other. I am rooting for them.
I'm preemptively praying for you on breakup day. That's all I'm
saying. I know. And, or if Serena doesn't win the U.S. Open, Drake is over.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Like, don't be a distraction. I'm sorry. Like, I don't make the rules, and don't hit the player. Hit the game.
I mean, maybe she's like, huh, I won enough stuff. It's fine.
No, are you kidding?
I'm kidding.
No. Like, that, this is number 21 that she cares. She's going to destroy Steffi Graf's, like, title.
P.S. Have you read the Claudia Rankine cover story about her yet?
Obviously. It just came out.
I have not read it yet because I was working, but it's going to be what I read while I drink my second Trader Jose's Corona.
I will say this also. Claudia Rankine has been doing, like, the Serena content beat, like, just incredibly.
Oh my god, yeah.
And
Citizen.
You should, like, if you haven't read Citizen, I think you should. Her book, I think that anybody who says that they care about race should read that Claudia Rankine book. But in the book, she also talks about, like, you know, Serena's rise as a great athlete, and then the public critiques of her body and her demeanor, but especially her confidence and her, like, expressions of outrage and joy against the gaze of her, like, awful white audience. Mm-hmm. And she goes into the, like, Indian Wells episode, some racist, just sports shit. And so, like, to see her write again about Serena, and it's going to be the cover of the magazine this weekend, is just incredible. And she made some, like, really good points about Black excellence, you know, mm-hmm. and how we have to work harder to prove ourselves. But the, like, the sweetness and, like, Serena winning now is that, you know, she's, like, winning for winning's sake. She doesn't have to prove herself anymore. And that's amazing.
Right. Like, the fact that it's a joke that she might stop because, you know, she's already got double digits amounts of these, like, massive awards just sitting around.
Yeah. But, you know, the crazy thing is that she doesn't pull in the most endorsements in tennis for marketing. I think number one is, God, who is that, like, beautiful blonde Russian lady? Sharapova. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is, like, some unknown Australian. I'm not even going to say her name on the podcast. And Serena, like, destroys
blonde.
Them. Yeah, Serena destroys them, like, every single time. Every time she plays Sharapova, they're like, here's the Sharapova rivalry. And I'm like, Serena has beat her, like, 10 times in a row. I don't know that you can call that a rivalry.
I mean, still. Women's athletic endorsements have never been about who's the best. It's always been about, like, you know, who is good and attractive.
Oh, no, obviously. Yeah. But, like, putting it against this curtain of, like, Serena being so dominant, it's so much more apparent and disgusting to watch.
Right, for sure.
What does that person always say on Twitter? It's like, look at whiteness work. Like, yes. Yeah, that Black Lives Matter activist, DeRay, yep. Who's the best. He's like, look at whiteness work. And I'm like, oh, that shit is real, man. So depressing. But yeah, Team Serena all the way. I'm so happy about this relationship. We'll check in if, like, anything happens to them. I will be devastated.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Maybe you could send them some preemptive relationship counseling. Like,
listen, I, like, lit some sage for them the other day. It was great. Same thing every single time. I say you the fucking best. 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 You the best I ever had. Best I ever had. Best I ever had. Best I ever had. You got a roommate, call me when it's going there. Put the key under the mat and you know I'll be over there. I'll be over there, shout it, I'll be over there. I'll be hitting all the spots that you ain't. Do you want to talk about fuckboys or are we done? Let's talk about fuckboys really quickly.
Always have a minute for fuckboys.
Yeah,
please.
Do you want to talk about fuckboys? This was a specific request by our main man, Ryan.
Oh, really? Thanks, Ryan.
RJS, friend of the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that fuckboy is just the latest in a series of terms that the white mainstream has latched onto while completely getting wrong the actual meaning,
right?
And losing the context in the process.
Why do white people do this, Anne? Please speak for your people. Why do they always try to take things away from us and then ruin them? Like Bay, like on Fleek. And I predict that the next one will be Netflix and chill.
Listen.
So, like, why do your people insist on ruining the slang?
When you're really busy oppressing all other races, it's hard to have time for creativity and community building, which I think are the things that build a shared vocabulary that is possibly obscure from the mainstream. And so I think that as a general rule, this is something white people struggle with. And if you can't make it, what are you going to do? Steal it. You're already used to stealing a lot of stuff. So, you know, that's my short summary of how this happens. Also, just like white people want to seem cooler than they really are. And it's like if you throw in a word that you've heard used by a rapper you enjoy in passing or something, then, you know, you can feel like you have a certain amount of credibility.
I know, like, white people, on average, 63% less cool than black people.
Oh, my God, at least.
Like studied. Serious studies. By the Amina Tussaud School of Studying Studies. White people, why do you do this?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't.
It's okay, Anne. Just talk to your people. Talk to your people at the next meeting.
I mean, but real practical question, right? So, like, I see my people use a term that I'm like, you know, like, maybe I understand how you're using on Fleek. I understand that you saw that Vine. It's cool. What is the venue for which I, in an Instagram comment, am like, maybe don't say cheese dip on Fleek or whatever. you just captioned your photo with. P.S. I've never captioned anything as on Fleek.
I'm gonna go through all of your Instagram and caption it cheese dip
on Fleek. There probably is a cheese dip in my Instagram you could caption like that. No, but seriously, I it's one of those things that it doesn't seem to rise to the level of in your face offense. So I would never, I would maybe kind of roll my eyes and be like making this hard for other white people, but I wouldn't ever go so far as to say, why are you saying that?
Yeah, you know, and like for us, it's just like another microaggression, right? It's like in the grand scheme of like racist shit, like using black slang and appropriating like what it means, not a big deal, but it happens all of the time. And it's like, can we have anything? And also, you know, like, again, just goes to show everybody loves black culture and nobody loves black people.
Sure. Anyway, just I'm saying crazy. Real dilemma. If you have advice for, I mean, like, I don't know. For actually being like, let me have the conversation with someone else white who is like always
using.
And
you should make an MTV documentary with Jose Vargas Antonio or Jose Antonio Vargas.
White people to wait, step up white people to the streets. I think that's maybe what we could call it.
it's like every episode is like one slang word. You're like, here's what fuckboy actually means. Fuckboy is also such a good expression. Thank you to the rapper Cameron for giving that to us.
Also, just like, I feel like make your own slang is maybe the appropriate response. It's just like, why don't you think of a cool way of saying my crew of friends? Like, why don't you think about a better way that you can say it?
People ran out of ideas in like 1779. Like, they just ran out of any kind of like cool idea.
I think that is actually the headline for the article about Netflix and chill. It just says white people ran out of ideas in, what did you say, 17 something? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like white people just ran out of like scratch. Can't make anything up anymore. Sorry.
Oh, it's true. I feel like maybe that could be a strong contribution, like from me to the wider white world. I'm like, I need to start some white slang that isn't based on racial supremacy, that maybe just like use your own, just use this less interesting piece of slang as opposed to stealing from someone else.
Okay, Anne, we're counting on you. We're counting on you.
No pressure.
I love the idea of like one person speaking for all of white culture. Thank you.
You know, I am sweating profusely at this point. It's not easy.
It's not easy carrying the weight of your culture on your shoulders.
It's not easy carrying. White privilege is heavy. That's like that big boulder in Atlas Shrugged is about.
Check your bridge.
Are we out?
We're out, okay. Man. What am I going to do today? I'm going to do some Netflix and chill, in fact. Just a text message.
Great.
maybe make some more of that fake salad. You know, great. Just live my best life today.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I feel like I'm going to get stoned and read.
That's our happiest place.
Yeah, the happiest. You can find us online at callyourgirlfriend.com and on Twitter at callyrgf. Send us an email at callyrgf@gmail.com. Also iTunes. We're on iTunes. You can rate us if you like us. That would be awesome. Shout out to our producer and podcast.
Tina Delvac.
Tina D.
See you on the internet.
See you on the internet.